So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Girish Mathrubootham. Hi, Girish.
Hey, Adrian. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. So, Girish, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and also the sort of the work that you do?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Girish Mathrubootham, and I am the founder and CEO of Freshdesk. I'm 38 years old. I live in Chennai, India, with my wife and two children, two boys, aged 9 and 8. So I started my career as a developer, pretty soon realized that I was pretty lousy at it, and then I moved over to a training and pre-sales. So in fact, my first break came after 4 years in four companies. I joined a company called AdventNet as a pre-sales engineer, and in 10 years, when I quit, I was VP of Product Management, and the company's name was Zoho. AdventNet basically renamed itself as Zoho. So during that stint, I was also somewhere around in 2003, I was a product manager, and I think even till today, I think I would like to call myself a product manager because that's what I enjoy doing most. I've built many products, and most of them are successful today. And I think my definition of a successful product is when it has a lot of happy customers.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of intro about me.
So can you tell me a little bit about, you mentioned that you're CEO and founder of Freshdesk. Tell me about Freshdesk.
Yeah. So in October 2010, I quit along with my friend and colleague Shan to found Freshdesk. Freshdesk is an online customer support software delivered as a SaaS solution. So basically what we found out in 2010 was we found out that the dynamics of customer support was changing from basically being a ticketing system or a one-to-one conversation between the customer and the company to a one-to-many conversation. So we thought there are some exciting opportunities in customer service. So we thought we'd focus on solving those problems, and we founded Freshdesk.
Okay. And now, the reason why we were put together or connected is that because I understand that you're a great advocate for customer service and how you can turn customer service into a key marketing opportunity. And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's interesting. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I went, tell me a little bit more about that. And can you tell me, what do you mean by customer service can turn into a key marketing opportunity for firms, and why you see that as an opportunity?
Yeah, so just as I was telling you, we see that customer support has already changed from what used to be a one-to-one conversation between your customer and your company. Today, customer service has already changed to much bigger than that. So today, your customer wants to talk to you. So for example, they may want to email you, or they may want to call you for help, or they go to your website and fill a contact form. Now, all that is your customer talking to you and you responding to take care of the customer. That is the traditional customer support.
Yeah.
But think about the last time when you were buying a book, or like you were buying a phone, or you're buying a car. Now, a lot of times, all of us, when we're buying something, we actually want to talk to other customers, or we want to go online and read reviews, or we want to know what are the pros and cons of this product, right? So now this is what we call as a community engagement feature, right? So basically, people want to talk to the community.
Right.
And this is no longer customer support. Similarly, today when customers love something or they hate something, they go and talk about it on Twitter or Facebook, right? So when your customers are frustrated and they're going on Twitter and talking about it, I don't think it's no longer a customer support problem. It's impacting your brand. So it's a great marketing, big marketing problem, right? Or if you're gathering so much love online and getting positive reviews, so it's a marketing opportunity. So that's what I mean by saying customer support is the new marketing.
So it's more about the flow back from what you do as a business and how people respond to that, And how that can be, because that's actually, and how that impacts on the whole buying sort of journey and what people are looking for sort of online in terms of recommendations, referrals, you know, opinions, feedback, all that type of stuff.
Yes, because today nobody just buys stuff. They always want to know, like, is it good or bad? And there's so much they can find out online. So it's important to keep your customers happy and turn them into advocates.
Okay, so here's another question. I mean, because do you think this is true? Is that in actual fact, what's happened and what the internet has allowed us to do as customers is it's allowed us to, if you like, shorten the buy-in cycle, but actually sort of lengthen and deepen the shopping sort of cycle, as it were. So what I mean by that is that, you know, when we as customers, we do a lot of research in terms of product and feature, you know, features and benefits sort of you know, analysis, price comparison, you know, customer opinion, all of those different sort of things. So then when we get to the point of actually buying, then we've already made our decision, our mind up in terms of who we want to buy for and what we want to buy. Does that make sense? And therefore, the whole journey of actually what it is to be a customer and how businesses look at that whole buying and selling cycle has actually changed. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So here's a question though, is that what do you think? I mean, this is quite a, you know, it's quite a big deal for many firms and for many many big firms particularly. I mean, that's quite a. It's quite a big cultural and behavioural sort of change. I mean, what do you think firms can do to help them generate, if you like, marketing returns from their customer service?
So I think some companies are already way ahead in solving this.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've seen companies do is, so the first thing is there has to be a focus on solving customer problems,
mm-hmm.
and not just sticking to old processes and rules, right?
Right.
So what I've seen some large telcos in India do is, at least part of the, instead of changing everything that's working,
mm-hmm.
what they're doing is creating a separate social support team. So they have a more empowered Twitter support team, and we have seen this happen so many times, and I would actually encourage any of our listeners to try this. So if you're calling a large corporate via that to their call center or to you're emailing them and waiting for a response, try going online and try contacting them on Twitter. Many times we have seen that people get faster resolution, faster response, and the problem is solved like instantaneously. And this is what companies are now started doing. Like they understand that on Twitter, it's no longer a customer support problem, it's a brand problem, but that's something that's working to the benefit of customers. So larger, smarter companies realize that they have to take care of these customers. But what I think firms should do is not just treat Twitter alone or social channels alone as a high priority customer, because you'll be doing your customers a disservice. So I think it's fundamentally the cultural change that is needed is to focus on solving customer problems and not just to stick to old rules and processes,
mm-hmm.
and also to empower your frontline staff to empathize from the customer's point of view and take corrective action quickly.
Okay, is this just about customer service that happens online? So it's like social customer service, or is this a general thing? I mean, what I get frustrated sometimes when people talk about customer service just being sort of online, when I know most of the data shows that most customers or many customers, you know, particularly in the UK and the US, I'm not exactly sure how it works in India, but I'm pretty sure that it's probably not too dissimilar, is that the majority of customers still prefer to contact, the first point of contact is going to be either phone or email. When they have a problem, say it's with their bank or their telco or whatever, and this is in terms of volume, not necessarily in terms of first choices, in terms of the volume of it. So my challenge would be, is that, is this, are we t- talking about this because it's a new channel and it's a new thing, and therefore it impacts on brand, and therefore it can be more potentially dangerous for companies? Or is it that we believe that this is really the future and it's an opportunity, and actually it will become the primary channel over time? Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I mean?
So basically, what's happening today is that we are seeing a behavioral change. So consumer behavior changes more rapidly than company behavior. So inside organizations, we are all used to have a support team with a call center and people responding to emails. And most times, a customer actually, out of habit, just calls the company or emails the company.
Uh-huh.
And if the customer is able to get an answer quickly and their problem is resolved, then probably everything is fine. But what happens in real life is if the customer calls and is put on hold for like 7 minutes, and he has to pass through like 70, press 17 buttons to reach a human being, and then the problem is still not resolved because he's talking to robotic agents who don't give him a resolution or who don't understand the problem, that's when you push a nice customer to get frustrated, and then they go online and vent their frustration. And at that point, they meet other customers who have been treated like that, and a whole social backlash starts happening. Now, this is the current state of affairs. But what is happening now is people are slowly starting to realize that if I go online, these people are coming and helping me. But if I call them, I'm being treated in a very bad way. So if more and more customers start realizing that, I think we will see a huge adoption in this. But I think it'll take some more time before it becomes the mainstream channel, because people still, when they have a problem, the first step or the first approach that they do is, as you rightly said, they call or they send an email and then they wait.
There is a danger is that all you're doing is if people realize that they have to adopt going to social channels to get noticed or get the reaction that they want, and there's this, you know, there is this big sort of charge or big move towards that that sort of channel. But isn't it that if it's to do with sensitive information, then actually what people will normally do or the company, what will they'll normally do, they'll normally just say, you know, they'll respond, and then they'll say, well, give us a call on this number or email us at this and we'll direct, you know, respond directly. So is it not just like another filter, but not, you know, for catching and responding to queries, but actually they still get channeled down into the more traditional sort of channels?
Yeah, that is something which used to work, say, 1 or 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But now, like companies also have started adopting tools which allow them to manage social support. Social, like you could have a Facebook app to handle all the discussions inside Facebook and close the ticket there itself. Because once you have frustrated a customer, they're not going to go back to the old channel. But sometimes they will. But again, they're going to come back online if to let the world know. Because they think that they have a responsibility to the other readers and other followers about what happened. So either way, even if they try to take the problem offline, it's going to come back online. But today there are tools available to manage a problem like a community forum or a social support tool or a Facebook app, which are all part of modern customer support tools to handle a social problem and resolve it quickly on social. And it's actually a great opportunity for the company, because when a customer is unhappy and the company is the first person to respond and take care of them and turn him back into a happy customer, that's when this problem becomes an opportunity. That's when you unlock the marketing potential, because others are watching, and there's only one thing a company could do to a frustrated customer is to try and make them happy and be reasonable and present the facts out in the open.
Yeah, okay. And so what's stopping a lot of firms kind of getting embracing this, you know, this shift and this, if you like, the opportunity? do you think, in your experience?
Yeah, so I think fundamentally, the first problem is everybody still thinks customer support means responding to emails or phone calls, because a lot of customers who come to FreshDesk today, mm-hmm. they start with, it's a help desk. I need a ticketing system to respond to emails from customers. So that's the thought process. So not everybody is aware of the shift that's happening in customer support. That's one of the problems that we are trying to solve by educating customers that it's no longer, especially if you're a brand, like if you're an e-commerce company or you're a bigger company, then there are people talking about you. So that's an education and knowledge is something that's not there. And then businesses also think that sometimes they think that, but I think it's changing a lot now, but they think customer support is a cost center, right? So they treat it as something that is necessary, but not critical to the company. So, and they think once the customer is paid up, so it doesn't matter anymore. So you just have some people there, put some processes so that you just follow the rules. And like, for example, 90 days free support, after 90 days paid support, they make sure that customer support is not eating into the margins of the company. But what is missing is that unhappy customers today have a platform to go and impact future business. So it's, and go and impact future sales. So that's the aspect that's changing. And once companies start realizing that, I think they will start adopting these new technologies.
And who do you know, or which companies have you come across that you think those guys really get it? They really get it. They're leading the way. They know what they're doing, and they're really set up for the future.
Okay, the most obvious examples would be like companies like Amazon or Zappos. So Amazon, the famous thing that they did last year was they put a made pay button or a support button inside the Kindle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So that's the kind of thinking which shows you that this is a company that cares about the customer and is ready for the future, right? So,
I think everybody is aware of what Amazon and people like Zappos are doing, because they're like heroes of the space. They are leaders. They're a bit like the Apple of those spaces. That they're almost like everybody talks about them, as it were, and they're so far in front, so that's fine. But I guess my question, what I'm really interested in, is almost like hearing about other firms that we don't quite talk about that often, that we think, oh, they're doing great things, they're doing really interesting things, but they're not in that sort of the big spotlight, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so well, one of my personal favorites is a company called Buffer.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know Buffer?
Yeah, I know Buffer.
Yeah, so basically Buffer allows you to schedule tweets and stuff like that. So if you look at their social support, then you will understand this is a company that understands social support. So basically they call themselves happiness experts. Uh-huh. They go out of the way to educate their customers about what's happening. They're obsessed with happiness, and their tweets, they do complete social support on Twitter, so that's a good example. And also, today's companies don't charge for customer support. So that's something that a simple way to identify these companies would be companies who treat their customers as like a premium for support, right? That's the old school of thought. Where customer support is in the cost center. But if you find companies that are actually taking care of all of their customers, then these are the companies that actually understand that customer support is today impacting marketing.
Right. Okay. So what do you think are the big sort of challenges coming around the corner for some of these, for firms that are in this sort of space, but also, or things that firms that are moving into this sort of space, but also firms that are sort of still thinking about it as well. What do you see as Freshdesk? Because you're actually almost an enabler of this type of approach. What do you see as the next big challenges for firms in the near future?
So one of the biggest challenges is unifying customer experience across all channels, right? Even today, I'm surprised by the number of companies whose phone support is not integrated with their email support. So people don't know that this customer who sent an email today already had called yesterday, or they don't log the calls. So the phone, but they're providing support. Like if somebody calls, I'm not talking about the big companies, I'm talking about the SMBs. I'm sure large companies have already invested in a ticketing system in a call center, and they do track all the calls meticulously. But a lot of small SMBs, even though they offer phone support, email support, they actually don't integrate the two. So they, when a customer calls, they actually support, but they don't have any track of it.
Right.
Same way, social support. So today, what's happening is social channels are owned by marketing, and they do exactly what you told a few minutes ago, where marketing people who are not empowered to support customers, who don't know how to solve customer problems, just go on Twitter or Facebook and say, please contact us on this number, or please email us here. And they try to move customers from one channel to the other. So these are all unifying the support experience across channels, the biggest challenge. Used to say, it's not about the channels in your support, but it's about the support in those channels.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, and then the other important challenge is, see, as we are speaking, there are so many things happening around us, right? And I'm talking as Freshdesk, like what are our challenges? Like social, mobile, wearable tech, like Google Glass. So these are all game changers, right? So we don't, like the future of customer support could actually is changing because of social. We just talked about that for so much, like mobile, right? So if there are so many mobile first companies, and think about companies like Expedia.com or Wells Fargo Bank or Barclays Bank. So if you use their mobile app, and let's say you have a problem, should you be able to call support from within the app, or should you go to the bank's website, find out their phone number, and then call them? So all of these things are changing. The number of channels, multi-channel, is changing, and unifying, making sure that a company can listen in on all these channels and provide the same kind of support across these channels, this is going to be the biggest challenge.
Okay, brilliant. So I'm just conscious of time, Girish, so I'm going to start sort of wrapping up now. But so tell me, what's Freshdesk's and your plans for the rest of 2014 and beyond, apart from world domination, obviously?
Yeah, so we are looking at making customer support simple, flexible, and fun. So basically what we're doing is, like, we are integrating a lot more features. I just told you about integrating the phone support with email, right? So we already have so that's what we're working on. We're working on bringing all these touch points, whether it's mobile app support, or whether it's social support, or whether it's email or phone support or community support. So have a 360-degree engagement with the customer. That's what we'd like to enable. And also, customer support has traditionally been associated with as a frustrating, boring job.
Uh-huh.
So we want transform that experience into a fun-filled experience. So what we are doing is bringing in game mechanics so that agents are motivated and happy. And this happiness, we believe it's contagious, and happy agents will be able to deliver more happiness to customers.
Fantastic. That sounds really interesting. And so, Girish, my final question that I always finish these interviews on is this. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
No, I think, if somebody is looking for next generation support, I would invite them to try out a 30-day trial of Freshdesk.
since you asked to shame the people.
Now, some people find that question a little bit off-putting. It's a bit of a surprise. But what I'll do is I'll make sure that I get all this when I get it all edited up, I get it all linked up and give Freshdesk and your thoughts on, you know, the knitting together of why customer service is turning into a key marketing opportunity. We'll get all that sort of linked up and pushed out and things. But Girish, I just wanted to say thank you for your time today. That's some really interesting stuff in there. And well, yeah, so thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Have a great day.
Thank you, you too.